Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and to verse 31. Luke, chapter 5, verse 31. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, these are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe this words sank into the ears of those who were listening to him, because all the other three Gospels, Mark, Matthew, they all talk about it. They repeat it with only some slight variations. So it looks as if it was a favorite theme. At that time, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That is the state of man. It's very sad that people are very conscious of their body. The body that is here for a while and will die, people spend so much money and so much time to care for the body. But unfortunately, the soul, the most noble part of the human being, we neglect. If you ask somebody about the soul, he will look at you as if maybe you don't know what you are talking about. Why should I be concerned about my soul? You leave that with the psychologists and those people, but not me. But from what Christ is saying, we know that the soul must be in a good, healthy state. So my topic this morning is the disease of the soul and its cure. The disease of the soul and its cure. Like I said, people are so much concerned about the body. From a book that I was reading, we are told that there are not less than about 1,088 forms of diseases which our mortal bodies are liable to. So what about the soul? You think the soul is not sick? Our soul is sick. That is the sad state of man. And it is the most noble part of our body. But man is concerned about their body and their reputation, but not the soul. Our bodies will one day come to the grave. It will go to the grave. But the soul lives on. So which one do you have to pay more attention? The one that is very temporal, or the one that is going on forever and ever? But when you tell the world about this, and they will mock at you. But the Bible warns us that there will be a day of judgment and the time when our bodies and souls will be reunited. And really, this should call for serious thoughts about the state of our souls. I would liken the state of our souls to a story that somebody told me about a faulty clock, a wall clock that was faulty. It wasn't working. Now, all forms of suggestions were giving, and yet it wasn't working. One would say, just leave it for a while and it will start working. After a while, it wasn't working. Shake it and it will work. It will shake and it wasn't working. Now, they say, let's take it to the manufacturer. He will be able to tell us exactly what is the problem with the clock. Now, the clock came back with a report that it needs a new inside. The spring is broken, so it needs a new inside. That is the state of our souls. By nature, our souls are sick because of Adam's disobedience. So not until our souls are cured, the sickness is cured, we can never. That is why later on I will explain the sickness of the soul. But we can see that our souls, our being, we are made up of violence, crime, murder, beggary, adultery. These are what we clamor for. And why is it like that? It's all because of the sickness of our soul. And like I said, we inherited this from Adam because he was our representative. In the same way, when David and Goliath were fighting, even though the fight was between the people of Israel and the Philistines, Anyone who won between David and Goliath, who wins that war, has won for his nation, because he represented them. So when David won, he won for Israel. When Goliath lost, he lost for the Philistines. And that is how we are. When Adam failed, we have also failed. Whatever happens to Adam, happens to us as well. So this is what we are going to study today. So now let's come back to the passage. Here, Levi was a tax collector, who was later on became Matthew. And as he said, he was sitting down at the custom house, which is where they collect the taxes. And then Christ called him. And look at the way he said, he called him, and he just left everything he was doing and followed Christ. See the power of the gospel. He just called him, and he left all what he was doing and came to follow Christ. You know, these people were very rich people, influential people. But sometimes I'll be wondering what was going on in this man's mind. Can he maintain his status? Because if you were a tax collector in those days, you are like the big-time businessman in our days. Now you are going to leave all these things and follow Christ. You'll be thinking that I will lose most of my friends and my business associates. I will be poor. Then what happens to my they have investments? What happens to my investments? And also, those days, you know, Christians were being persecuted. All those things were there, but this man didn't think about them and still followed Christ. He hastened and followed Christ. And even after that, he made a feast for Christ as a show of love for Christ calling him. He made a feast for him. And we have a similar one in Zacchaeus when he said, even he will pay four times all the things, all the bad things he had done. If you are taking people's money, he was prepared to pay four times because Christ had invited him. And what lesson do we learn from this? We learn that there's nothing as important as being a Christian, as being saved. Now, we will look at verse 30. The Pharisees, they were murmuring. They were asking, why do Christ eat and drink with the prophets? It's amazing how people are always criticizing Christianity. We know that even in the Bible, even devils, demons, could identify Christ and say, we know you. You are the Holy One. And yet, these Pharisees, who are people who are like the church leaders, were complaining about Christ. They didn't know who he was. Either they knew or they didn't know who he was. But publicans and tax collectors, they came to Christ. And in those days, when we say you are a tax collector, it means you are a very wicked person. That's how they see them. They are Jews, and they have been conquered by Rome. And now the Romans use these same Jews, their own people, to collect taxes from their people. And they give them big commissions. So what they do is, they will squeeze you, they will take all your money so that you get more money. So that is how they were hated. They were hated because they were part of the Jewish population, and now they've allowed themselves to be used by the people who were oppressing them to make money and take all their money from the Jewish citizens. So in every culture at that time, they were despised because the government who had invaded them was using them to do the dirty work, collect taxes from them. And it also did because they were in tithe. They were getting big money. So if such people could be saved, then everybody can be saved. But look at the publicans. They were doubting why Christ is eating with sinners. That is why Christ said, those who are healthy don't need a doctor. It is those who are sick. And then verse 32, he said, the 31, 32, he said, I've come to call the righteous. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we saw, like I said, this Levi, he came to write Matthew. And the publicans, or the disciples, they were still there. Jesus, like I said, did another one. When he was going to Jericho, he caused another stay by seeking out a publican named Zacchaeus. 2:2, he called him, and then he also was saved. Now, let's look at this accusation that they were making against Christ. He said, why do we eat with publicans and sinners? It's an accusation. They accuse him. They actually impeach Christ for eating with sinners. And it's not hypocrisy or hatred for Christ. Because like I said, even devils, they can proclaim the holiness of Christ. Yet the Pharisees, they see him as being a sinner. In Luke chapter 4 verse 32, we are told that a man which had an unclean spirit, when he saw Christ, he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, I know thee who thou art. This is what he's saying. The devil, the demon, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And yet the leaders at that time, they were accusing Christ of going on with sinners. Now, Christ did nothing by going to the sinners because that was his commission. That is why he was in this world. That is what he received from the Father. According to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am one. That's what he came for. He came to save sinners. He couldn't stay somewhere and leave the sinners. It's like telling a doctor not to go to his patients. Stay somewhere and leave the patient somewhere. The doctor must be with the patients to be able to treat them. So that is why Christ said that those who are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So by this, can we say that there are some people who will not be saved in this world? Yes, there are people who will not be saved. And it's those who don't see that they are sick. If you don't see that you are sick, you can never be saved. In the same way as if you are not sick in the body, you won't go and see a doctor to be healed. The same way, if you are not sure, you don't believe that you are a sinner, you can never come to Christ for you to be saved. And in the words of Christ, there are two general paths. Firstly, the dying patients, and then the healing physician. Those who are dying, and then the one who heals them. Who are the dying patients? They are the sick. Because in Psalm 103, the one that we just read, sin is referred to as a soul disease. Sin is a soul disease. And also in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, it says he has borne our grief. That grief word that he was talking about is our sickness. Like I said earlier on, man was created in a healthy temper. He had no sickness of soul. Everything was good. The eyes were clear, the heart was pure, the affections tuned with the finger of God. He said, man, God made man upright. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. He said, lo, this have I found, that God had made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God made us upright, but we have sought out many inventions. What are the inventions that we have sought out? Man was not content with what God gave him. But man studied new ways. God said, keep the garden, till it, don't touch this one. Adam said no. He forsook what God had given him and went for the one that God had not given him. And that is how we all are. That is our state. It's very, very, very sad. The God who created us has a true way of happiness for us, but we have taken new methods of attaining it. So Adam, by eating the forbidden fruit, he fell sick and he died forever. If God had not found a way of recovery in Christ, and that's how we are all going to be. We are all in bondage because of Adam until Christ came to redeem us. So this morning we'll be looking at three things. In what sense is sin resembled sickness? In what sense? Then what are the diseases of the soul? And the last one will be sin sickness is the worst of all the diseases that we know in this world, including mental illness. Sin sickness is the worst. And I will explain why. In the first place, when I say in what sense that sin resembles sickness, sin resembles, can be compared to sickness the manner of catching. How do we catch sickness? If you look at how we get sick, you see how it resembles sin. First and foremost, sin is caught through carelessness. If you leave your chest open in a cold weather, obviously you get cold. So when Adam grew careless of God's command and he left off the garment of innocence, he also caught the sickness. And because of that, he could no more stay in the garden. For now sin has turned the world that God has given him into a hospital. Sin has turned the paradise into a hospital. So now, because of his disobedience, now he became sick. Secondly, sickness is sometimes caused through excesses. Especially, even if you eat too much, you can get sick. If you drink alcohol too much, you can get sick. Anything that you do in excess can also give you sickness. It happens to everyone. You can get nausea, upset stomach, diarrhea, heartburn. All these things come as a result of our excesses. So when our first parents could not restrain themselves and they did eat of the forbidden tree, they and all their posterity, which is us, we all suffered and then we took that sickness in us. So the tree of knowledge that God said they should not touch, it has sickness and death under the leaves. That is why God said they should not touch it. In Genesis chapter 3 verses, we are told that it was fair to the eye, but poison to the taste. So you see, we all grew sick by eating of this tree. Adam's greed has brought us sorrow, a state of sorrow, weeping, suffering. All these things are as a result of what Adam did, and we have inherited it. Now, the second point is sickness can be compared to sin for the nature of it. The nature of sickness and the nature of sin, you can compare them. First, sickness is of a spreading nature. Sickness spreads. It spreads all over the body. It works into every part, the head, the stomach, the whole body. So sin does not rest in one part. In the same way, that sickness, when you have malaria right now, it affects the whole of your body. You become weak, you lose appetite, you can't sleep well, you feel hot. All these things are as a result of one sickness, malaria. And that is how sin is. Sin affects the whole body, the whole of our nature. It's not only in one part, it's spread throughout all our faculties and the soul members of the body. Now, sin, the first thing is it corrupts our understanding. Because of the sin of the soul, our understanding becomes corrupt. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Sin has drawn a veil over the understanding. So you see, our understanding has become dull. So we can never know God as we should by ourselves. Even ourselves, we can't even know our own selves. Our understanding has become dull because of sin. Our understanding has been defiled. We can no longer just spiritual objects until the Spirit of God opens our eyes. The same like a blind man cannot see different colors. That is how we are because of sin. Our understanding are subject to mistakes. We call evil good and we call good evil. If you put good and evil, we'll go for the evil because of our nature, because of the sickness of our soul. The prophet Isaiah warns us about this in Isaiah 5 verse 20. I won't turn there, but you can write it down. Isaiah 5 verse 20. The second thing is our memory. Our memory is also diseased. The memory that God gave us from the beginning was like a cabinet which contained all the divine truth and locked up there. Now it has become like a leaking vessel. Divine truth come and then it goes. It doesn't stay because the memory is sick. It runs out. So all the saving truth that we hear, we can't memorize them, we can't keep them. It goes because our memory has been defiled. So the precious truth that we hear will never stay, and they will go out again. Again, our will is also diseased. And our will really is the soul's, I call it, is like the commander-in-chief of the soul, our will. At creation, our will delighted to do the will of God. Psalm 40 verse 8. In creation, that is how our will was, to do the will of God. But now, because it has been distempered, it will refuse to yield to God. Our will is not to God again. That is why Isaiah in 48 verse 4 said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Because our will is no more towards God, it's towards evil. Men will rather die than to come to the physicians. We have a kind of people, I don't know if you know about the Armenians. I can't say much about it, but I will explain just a short thing about Armenians. They talk of free will. How can a will that is sick be free? They think that we have a free will. We have our free will to decide whether we come to God or not. That is not true. Because the will is sick. If the will was healthy from the beginning as it was, it would be towards God. Because now it is not healthy, it is towards evil. So if you talk of our own free will, that we have a free will to come to God, it is not true. Because the will is sick. It is the same way as telling a sick man to walk. The man can't walk because he's sick. So now the will has become a rebel against God. Instead of yearning for the will of God, it now become like a rebel against God. Now in Acts chapter 7 verse 51, it says, "Ye do always resist the Holy Spirit." You always resist. See, so your will resists the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7 verse 14 to see what it says about this thing. Romans 7 from verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I will, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I will not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I will not, that I do. Now, if I do what I do that I will not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So you see the state of our will. Because of the sin of Adam, our will, the good, we know what is good, but we can't do it because our will is diseased. So you can see that the Armenians' free will doctrine is not biblical. Because, you see, the Calvinists, when we say that we talk about the sovereignty of God, it is only God, especially when it comes to our free will and then salvation. It is God. It is God who draws us to himself, not our own. Because we don't have that will again. We had it, we lost it because of our depravity. Now, Armenians believe that even though humanity is depraved, still they are able to see God. They are saying that we are fallen and tainted by sin, but not to the extent that we cannot choose to come to God and accept salvation. Which is contrary to what I just read in Romans. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2, it said the same thing. It said, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You can also read the verse 5. So you see, the will is disease. So we can't go towards God. We go towards where there's evil. Our next thing is our affection. Our affection too is sick. The affection is sick in three ways. First, our affection of desire. A sick man desires that which is helpful for him. I don't know if you've experienced this before. Sometimes when you are sick, what they tell you not to eat is what you yearn for. Those, especially people who have maybe hypertension, diabetes, and so they'll tell them this particular food, don't eat it. That is the food they want. The one they tell them not to eat is the one they want. And I know some people who hide somewhere and eat it. I know a man in my own village who had diabetes. He was warned to stop taking alcohol. He came to buy the alcohol and hide it. The same thing that was killing him, that is what he was going for. Now they cut off his leg, amputated. He has drank the alcohol to the point that now his leg, he has only one leg. That is how we are. When you are warned, this is what will disturb you, that is what you go for, because your desire is sick. It seeks for things that are helpful to you, not the things that will help you. That is how the unregenerate man is. Because you desire things that are harmful to you. You have no desire for Christ. All your desire is about things in this world. And these things in the world too are the things that bring problems in this world. And those are the things that you yearn for. You never yearn for Christ. You are always yearning for evil, not righteousness. You love death, according to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. Secondly, the affection of grief. Man, like I said, grieves to see the plague in the body, but not the plague in the heart. Our body. People spend millions of cedis on their bodies, but not the one of their heart. It's all because the desire is sick. So they grieve over those things. Joy. They think they have joy in wealth, but not in the cross of Christ. It's all because of the depravity. Now, the conscience too. Our conscience is diseased. Your conscience and your mind is defiled. Titus chapter 15. So they are bound to things which are sinful. Sin attracts us more than righteousness. That is why we said the sick person will go for things that will harm him rather than things that will heal him. So now we see how sickness goes through the whole body, how sin also go to the whole body. All our system is affected by sin. We also know that sickness weakens the body. The sick man, like I said, is unfit to walk. So the sickness of sin weakens the soul. Romans chapter 5 verse 6 says, when we were without strength, Christ died for us. Because when you are sick, you are weak, you can't walk. In the same way, when your soul is sick, you have no strength until Christ comes to take you up. When Adam was innocent, in some sense he was like the angels, very strong. He could do everything. He could serve God with power and speed and cheerfulness. But sin brought sickness into the soul, and all his abilities were disarmed. His services to God, everything were disarmed. Now, sickness also covers the beauty of the body. In the same way as moth consumes the beauty of the cross, so sickness consumes the beauty of the body. Sin is a soul's sickness. So the glory and the splendor of the soul, sickness has eclipsed it. So you can't see it. So sin has now turned beauty into deformity. I'm sure you have seen people who have been deformed by sickness, the bodily. In the same way, the sin of the soul also has deformed the soul. How you can see some people's faces deformed because of sickness. You can see the same thing, only because you don't see the soul. It is in that same state. The soul of man is so sadly that you can hardly, in the same, sometimes you see a sick person and you don't even know whether it's the person that you know. The same thing, the soul, the beauty is lost. The image of God that we had is gone. When we were created in God's image. Because of sin, we have lost that image. Sickness also takes away the taste. When you are sick, you can't eat any food. You lose your appetite. In the same way, when you are sick in the soul, you have no taste for spiritual things. So because God is like our strength, that's what Christ said, he's the bread of life. He is our strength. And as wine to comfort us. That's why we have the bread and the wine, strength and to comfort us. But the sinner can't taste any sweetness in the word of God. The word of God comes and passes here and goes. Because he has no desire. See, for the natural man, he's sick and his taste is gone. Now, because of the forbidden tree, all this is because of the forbidden tree that Adam ate. Sickness also takes away the comfort of life. If you are sick, do you enjoy anything? You can never enjoy anything in this world. Even in this world, you become a burden to people. You rather become a burden to people. In the same way, the sin-sick person is void of all true comfort. If your soul is sick, you have no comfort. And the last one, sickness ushers in death. This disease of sin, if not cured by Christ, it brings the second death. You die forever and ever in hell. In the same way as physical sickness, if not cured, begin to bring in death. That is what it is. Now, what are the diseases of the soul? There are many. Like I said, even the body. We have about 1,000 and over diseases. The ones of the soul, but I will just name a few which we all be conversant with. The first one is pride. Because of the sickness of the soul, pride is what brought the devil to where he is now. It is pride. And pride is in everybody by nature. Unless God comes to subdue it, everybody is proud. Dear Jinhudi, everybody thinks he's somebody. And it's a sickness of the soul. It's a symptom of the sickness of the soul. Lust is referred to as the fever. Lust, you lust for things and always for bad things. Things that will not help you. Things that is against, God is against. Those are the things that you lust for. Then error. Error is another serious thing. Error is like the kind of disease that eats your flesh. Gradually, it comes in small. If you are not careful, that's what happens to people who get amputated. It happens like a sore. Small. Not until they cut the leg, it will eat into every part of the body. And that is what it is. Error. That's what error does. Unbelief is referred to as the infection of the heart. Unbelief is the most serious sin. God is angry at those who don't believe in the atoning death of Christ. And this is a sickness that we have in our soul. Hypocrisy. Hypocrites. I just told you about the Pharisees. Devils can see Christ, but they couldn't see Christ. And they were accusing him. What is the accusation? Because he's healing people. The same thing that he came into this world for, he was being accused of. It's hypocrisy. And they are supposed to be the church leaders. And we have them in our days now, isn't it? You go and see people, high prophets and apostles and all these things, and yet their hearts are full of sin. They don't believe. They don't believe what they are teaching people. Then hardness of the heart. Our hearts are hardened. They don't want God in their life. They just want their own. Tell them anything, they will never take it. Anger is one of them. One of the diseases of the soul. Anger. Covetousness. You get this and you want that. You get that, you will be wanting until you die. You will never be satisfied. And then spiritual sloth. Spiritual things don't interest you. You want to see, you want things that you can see. Wealth, fame, that is what you want. You don't want things that you can see. Apostasy is referred to as epilepsy. Apostasy is a very serious thing. Like not believing the truth. Going away from the truth. We have only one truth, that we are sinners by birth. Christ has come to save us from our sins. Believe in Christ and you will be saved. If you believe in any other thing, you are going apostate. Now, the third thing that, like I said, that sin is the worst sickness. There's no sickness that can be compared to sin. Let's say even if your whole body is plagued with sores and so on, it is sad. But to have the whole soul, which is the most noble part of the body, spotted with sin, this is far worse. And I will explain. Because your body may be diseased. You may have a body disease, either leprosy or whatever. But when the soul is sick, the body, maybe it is society. Let's say if you have leprosy, they say, well, let's keep them somewhere at the leprosarium or whatever. is not anything. But when your soul is sick, that is serious. Because God throws you away. You can't come near God. You can't come near the angels. And God says that there's no peace to the wicked. No peace with the wicked. Because he said this in Isaiah chapter 48 verse 22. Before then, he was talking about the blessedness of the deliverance that he was going to give to his servant Jacob. But then he adds unto it that there's a limit to the blessing. It is only those who are for him. The wicked, there's no peace with them. Like I said, a man may have bodily disease. But yes, God may love him. If you are sick in the body, that doesn't mean that God hates you. But if you are sick in the soul, God and his angels are against you. Unless your sickness is cured. That is why, unless you are born again, you can't come to the holy, holy, holy God. You must be born again before you can come to God. Otherwise, you are separated from the society of God and his angels, which means you can't go to heaven. If you are bodily sick, you can go to heaven. But if your soul is sick, you can't go to heaven. So if this is what it is, then how foolish will you be if you don't see to cure the sickness of your soul? Like I said, there are people who cannot be saved, and it's all because they are not aware of their sickness. They see themselves as whole. So if you are whole, you don't need a physician. Now, who is this physician that we are talking about? Obviously, we know it is Christ and his ministry. Now, one of the tasks of Christ is that I am the Lord that healed thee. So he's a healer. He came to heal us. I say, I'm the Lord that healed thee. Why is he a physician? Because, like I said, God called him to come and do. I just read it to you in 1 Timothy that what is why he came to this world. He was anointed to do the work of healing. He said in Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That is why he is our physician. And how does he heal? Christ, he heals first by the word. He heals by the word of God. The word of God teaches us to believe, and our sins will be washed away. That is what John 3:16 is saying. To believe, and our sins will be washed away. This word washed, to be washed away, has a double meaning. It means to be washed and loosed. Because we are in bondage, you are washed and then you are loosing from the bondage. So Christ washed our sins, and then he loosing us from the bondage, from what he did on the cross. So you see, by his precious blood on the cross, God made an atonement for our sins. That we are justified from all our sins, and that our sins have been removed from us, both past, present, and future. He has done all for us. Your sin by heritage, what you have done, what you haven't done, all of them have been forgiven you. So those who believe this, they are pure. They are without spot in the sight of God. Those who believe this word that Christ said, if you believe it, you are washed away, you are loosed from the power of Satan and sin and the world. Now you are like pure, without any spot in the sight of God. God sees you as Christ. Christ has also loosed us from the guilt and dominion of sin. You see, he loses us from the dominion of sin through the work of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You can get all these things from the word. When you confess our sins to God, Christ in the word, by whom God has revealed Christ in the word. That is why in Hebrews chapter 1, he said, God, who in diverse sundry times spoke to us through the prophets and apostles, in the last day spoken to us by his Son. And his Son is the word, John 1:1. say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is Christ. So through the Word, we are healed from our sins, the sins of the soul. Now, why is Christ the only physician? There are so many physicians, but why is Christ the only true physician? Acts chapter 4 verse 12 has the answer. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name apart from Christ. So come to him. He is the only one that can save you from your sin-sick soul before you can be reconciled to God. His word is healing. In Psalm 107 verse 20, he said, he sent his word and healed them. Christ is our physician. Without him, no one can be saved. No one's sickness of the soul can be cured except Christ. Have you really come to know that Christ is your physician? Have you come to understand that you are sick of the soul? If you haven't, my prayer is today you will know that you are sick in the soul. And not until you are cured from that sickness, you can never come close to God. And the only way you can come is to believe in Jesus Christ. In summary, what I've said is that Christ is most concerned with those who need him most. He's most concerned with those who need him most, not those who think that they are whole. The sick need the physician. Now, sickness of soul is the need which calls for Christ as the good physician. Because of our sickness of the soul, that is why we need Christ, who is the physician of our souls. Now, it is necessary for a man to confess his sickness of soul before he can be healed by Christ. That is why he said the sick need no physician. It is only those who confess their sickness, tell Christ that I'm sick of the soul, I can't heal myself, I need you, I know you are the physician, you can heal me, and he will heal you. Because Christ or God can never lie. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the greatest physician that ever lived. Oh, Father, we pray for your blessing upon thy word, that if there be anyone of us here who has not been saved, whose sin-sick soul has not been cured, oh, Father, we commit such one unto thee, that thou will work in their hearts, in their souls, and that they will be healed and be reconciled unto thee. We thank you, Father, for hearing us. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.